Turn to your Bible with me tonight. We're going to be in Psalm 34, and this is these simple 22 verses, man, talking about a psalm that fits where we are tonight. This is a great psalm of David. Matter of fact, Peter and John both quote Psalm 34 in the New Testament. It says a psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away, and David departed. So to set up this great psalm tonight, remember that David was there in the court of King Saul. King Saul has been rejected by God, and now King David is the rightful king of Israel. And yet Saul, in his horrible jealousy, David has to flee because King Saul wants him dead. So beginning in 1 Samuel, probably back about chapter 20 or whatever, David, now he flees Israel. He leaves Saul and Jonathan and so forth. And he's going to spend the next 10 years in exile. He's going to be living in caves, and Saul is trying to hunt him down and to kill him. And it seems when we get to Psalm 34 and also our text in 1 Samuel, it seems that David, because he's lonely, or I should say because he's alone, he feels discouraged. He doesn't know what's happening in his life. This is a departing point, it seems, for David as he steps away from trusting in the Lord, and he starts, as it seems, to start trusting in himself. And he does so by telling lie after lie after lie. So what we're doing is setting up this great psalm before we begin. So in 1 Samuel 21, we find that David, after he flees from Saul, he's all alone, and he goes to the city of Nob, which was the city of Israel's priest. And there's, 100 or so priests that are present there. And so he arrives, and when he does, Abimelech, the priest, asks David, he says, David, why are you here, and why are you alone? In other words, if you're working with the king, where are the king's men, and so forth. And so David lies. And he tells Abimelech, to protect himself, that is, he lies and says, listen, I'm on a secret mission for King Saul. So here is David. He's cut off from his family. He's cut off from his friends. He's cut off from all provision. And he shows up at Nob, the city of priests, without food, without any weapons. And so he asks Abimelech, the priest, he says, I am so hungry. Do you have food for me? And he says, no, I have nothing but the holy bread of God. And so David says, give it to me. And so he takes the bread, and David says, do you have a spear? Do you have a sword? And Abimelech says, no, we have no weapons except one, and it is the sword of Goliath. And so David, of course, who killed Goliath, looks at the sword, and he says, there is none like it. And so he takes the sword and he takes the bread. But the problem with all of this, as we're setting up Psalm 34, he does not realize that Doeg, the Edomite, a wicked man, is watching him. And he looks over and he sees him. And what, because David was there, and because David had lied, and because later Doeg the Edomite would go back and talk with King Saul, all of the priests will be slain because of David's action there. And Doeg, the Edomite, will be the one who kills him. So now David, he leaves Abimelech, and he goes then to Gath, to the king of Gath, who is a Philistine. And Gath, of course, was the home of Goliath, who he had killed. So he is now going there to seek political asylum, okay? And it says in 1 Samuel 21:11, it says, and the servants of Achish said to him, is this not David, the king of the land, or the king of Israel? Did they not sing of him to one another in dances, saying, oh, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s? Now, the women were singing that song when David, of course, killed Goliath. And they called David the king. Now, Saul is still the king. But what they're saying is, David, you're trying to seize the throne of King Saul, and so forth. And now David took these words to heart. In other words, they weren't spoken in love, all right? And he was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And so here's what David did. he changed his behavior before them and pretended madness in their hands, and he scratched on the doors of the gate. In other words, he was scribbling or writing like graffiti on the doors of the gate. And it says that David let his saliva fall down upon his beard. So God's man pretends as a madman. So to let the saliva go down upon one's beard at that time, man, that was a horrible symbol of madness, because it desecrates his manhood, if you will. And so it says, and then Achish said to his servants, look, you see the man is insane, talking about David. And why have you brought him to me? Have I need of a madman? In other words, King says, I have enough madmen. I don't need another one. That you've brought out this fellow to play the madman in my presence, and shall this fellow come into my house? In other words, you need to get this crazy person out of here. And then it says in 1 Samuel 22:1, and then David therefore departed from there, escaped to the cave of Adullam. And so when his brothers and all his fathers heard it, they went down there to David. And then again it says, and everyone who is in distress or extreme anxiety, everyone who is in debt, everyone who was discontented, gathered to David there at the cave of Adullam. So you have the three D's. You have distress, you have debt, and you have discontent. And there were 400 men who came to the cave where David was hiding from King Saul. And then later on, his parents would come. Now, later, it went from 400 men to 600 men who were in distress, who were in debt. They owed everything. They had no money, and they were discontented. Now, it's at that time that David learns that the priest had all been killed by Doeg. So it was probably here, and remember now, Psalm 34, as he pens it in the cave of Adullam, he's alone. His parents haven't arrived, and the other men, they haven't arrived. But that's what he is facing. So there's an incredible weight upon David. And so in verses 1 through 10, David does something. There in that dark cave, hiding from Saul, all by himself, as he takes a pen in hand, and he writes out this psalm. The verses 1 through 10 are a praise unto the Lord. And then verses 11 through 22, David then turns into the teacher. Now listen carefully. If there is a psalm written for Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, it is this one tonight. With all that we're facing, with all that we're going through, we're going to be like David tonight, where he cries out and he says, oh, let us exalt, magnify the Lord together. And that's what we need to be doing, and we need that to do that specifically tonight. So let's look beginning in Psalm 34:1, where David pens and he writes out, he says this, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Did you catch those words? All times, continually. Listen, David is hiding in a cave. David is all alone. He has some holy bread that the priest gave him. He has a sword of Goliath. And there he is. And he's crying out, and he's hiding in a cave. And soon he's going to be surrounded by 400 distressed, in debt people. And he's exiled. And here he is facing death every day because of King Saul. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall be continually in my mouth. You know, tonight, here we are. You know what? We are surrounded by an unseen enemy called the coronavirus. You know, and here we are, and you know, we're wearing our mask and all of the things that are happening. And my question to you is this, what is coming out of your mouth? What is continually coming out of your mouth? That's a very important word tonight, because it's so much easier to read verse 4 than it is to practice verse 4. And if there's ever been a time that we need to speak good things, wonderful things and praises unto the Lord. It is tonight, loved one. It's right now in the midst of all that's happening in our world and in our nation. So David did something. He just told us what to do in hard times, in uncertain times, and we could bring it up to the 21st century today and call it in coronavirus times, okay? So all times, continually. That tells me two things. Number one, it tells me that David, in the midst of all that he was going through, man, he was determined. Because this is determined praise. This is determined worship. If there's anything that we can learn tonight, this one thing, we need to learn it, and we need to practice it, and we need to learn it with what David did. How did David know how to do this? I mean, what was it? Well, the reason that David knew how to do this is because David penned Psalm 22, verse 3, that says this, "Oh God, you are holy, you are enthroned in the praises of Israel." The word enthroned means this. Here we are, we're going through a horrible time in our life, and when we start praising the Lord, worshiping the Lord, he comes down and enthrones himself in whatever we are surrounded by. In other words, our circumstances. Right now, it happens to be the COVID pandemic. And so that's what we need to do. David goes on and he says, oh, you know what? Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and they were not ashamed. So David says, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. You know, if you could just have a visual of him, because he's all alone, very little supply of food. And he says, I'm determined to do this. And that's what we must do tonight, loved one. We have to say to ourselves, I'm determined. No matter what's happening, I am going to bless the Lord at all times. And continually the praise and worship will come out of my mouth. And he says in verse 2, he says, my soul, all that is within me, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Now listen to verse 3, what a great scripture. He says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. That's a perfect word for us tonight. Listen, I know that there's a great division in our nation right now. Where do you wear mask or not to wear mask? You know, but you know, there's one thing we can at least agree upon, and that is to exalt the name of our God. And that's what we need to be doing, to magnify God. You know, magnify the Lord doesn't mean to try to make him bigger, because God is huge. It's literally saying when you magnify the Lord, you're literally seeing our Father in heaven, our Savior Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit. You're actually seeing God as he really is. Never forget, in the midst of all that's going on right now, you know, our Father is huge. Let me tell you how huge he is. You know, not only is the creator, sustainer of all that there is, but it says that heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. So we magnify the Lord tonight. Just magnify him and praise him and love him. Listen, we indeed are facing a mountain that cannot be seen. And God tells us in his word not to be afraid of the pestilence that walks in the darkness. In other words, the COVID virus that walks in the darkness. I mean, we don't see it. That's what Psalm 91:6 says. He says, don't you dare be afraid of that. Don't be afraid. Be wise, but don't be afraid. He says, oh, let us magnify the Lord. And that's what we need to do. Let us exalt his name together. Never magnify COVID-19. Never magnify or exalt the things of darkness, loved one. Only magnify the Lord. So David is calling the entire congregation with his psalm, you gather with me and we're going to worship the Lord. And now he gives us the reason. Look at verse 4. He says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. I love that, those three words. He heard me. You ever listen, God, the creator of all things, he heard me. I prayed and he heard me. The reason that he was heard, or reason that God heard David, is because David sought the Lord. He prayed. He went after the Lord. You know, listen to me. You know, the Bible tells us in James 4, 2, we have not because we ask not. We need to be just like David tonight and say, Lord, you know, we seek you and we know that you will deliver us from all of our fears. And it says, and they looked to him, and I love this here. Look, they were radiant and their faces were not ashamed. Those who look to the Lord means those who trust the Lord. And David is saying, those who really trust the Lord, you can look at their countenance. You can look at their face, and it's evident. Their face is radiant, or it's shining, it's glowing, like the face of Moses or whatnot. There's a light there, and there's not a darkness. And David cries out now, and he says this, and as he prays, he says, this poor man, meaning David, this poor man cried out. He prayed, and the Lord heard him, and look what God did, and saved David out of all of his troubles. And may I tell you that in life, we're going to have many troubles. There's always going to be troubles in life. Thank God Jesus is with us every step of the way to deliver us. So David, here he is, he calls himself this poor man. And when David, again, when he hid in the cave of Adullam, listen, he was all alone. You know, what a great psalm for us tonight. Maybe you are alone tonight. You know, and you're just saying, Bill, this has just been so tough. You know, well, listen, this psalm is for us. You know, you might be at the lowest point in your life tonight. I pray that you're not, but this psalm is for us. And maybe you're like those who feel that everything in life, it just seems to be coming against me. Well, I tell you, God is not against you. The Bible says that God is for you. And it says in verse 7, look at the promise. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those, and here's the condition, those who fear him and delivers them. That's divine protection, loved one. I believe that the angels of God are all over us. There's this empty chapel here tonight. You know what? There's probably not an empty seat. An angel has filled every one of them. And I pray that that is true. Listen, it says the angel of the Lord, which is probably here, the theophany. In other words, it's the incarnate or the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You know, the Bible promises us. Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And so he says, David says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And blessed is the man who trusts in him. You see the exclamation mark on the very end of that? David is shouting that out. So he says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, there are all kinds of tasters in the world. I mean, you have those people that, you know, the coffee beans, and they, I've watched it on, you know, like Channel 13, you know, and they'll sip this cup of coffee, but it's just a sip. They're coffee tasters, I guess. And there's like the wine tasters and all the other crazy things of this world. But what David is saying, be a God taster. What a great word, David. See, when you trust the Lord and you taste and you see, that means that you experience God. You experience the blessedness or the true happiness, if you will, when you taste and see that God is good. The psalmist has written in Psalm 119, 103, it says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Listen, do you know that God wants you to taste? God wants you to see how much he loves you, how great his grace is toward you, how great his mercy is toward you 24/7. But you know, God says, wants you to experience those things, to taste it, to understand how wonderful they really are. You know, the Bible says that God, thanks be unto God who always leads us in triumph. What a word. Taste that. Oh, that is a sweet word tonight, isn't it? You know, the Bible tells us, Second Thessalonians 3:3, someplace in that area, it says that God is faithful. He will not allow the wicked one to touch you. Man, that's a sweet word. We've overcome the wicked one because we're in Christ Jesus. No, those are sweet words to taste and experience. Thanks be unto God, the Bible teaches us. Or blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now that is a sweet word. You know, to be a taster of God's word, to experience that. Knowing that we have been, what does it say? Chosen in him, meaning in Jesus, before the world was ever created. Man, that is a sweet tasting word from God. That we're now sealed by the Spirit. We're redeemed. We're forgiven. Our sins far as the east is from the west. Those are sweet words. Have you tasted that? Have you experienced the goodness of God like that? Not only that, we're seated right now with Christ in the heavenlies. What a wonderful word, sealed with the Holy Spirit, which is a guarantee in our life until the very day of redemption, loved one. Listen, I'm a citizen of heaven. You're a citizen of heaven. Taste those words. They are sweet to the taste. He says, oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. David says, you know, the young lions lack and they suffer hunger. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Now listen, David is alone. He is in exile. He is in the cave of Adullam. He's there and he's penning this. And he listen, what faith is that? He maybe bread is all that he has. And he says, you know what? Oh no, I'm going to fear the Lord. There is no lack, no want to those who fear him. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. All those who fear the Lord, those that truly love the Lord, worship the Lord, will lack nothing. Remember, David writes the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack for anything. Why? The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, loved one, listen. The Bible tells us in Psalm 84:11, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And he says, those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. The Bible tells us, Jesus told us in Matthew 6:33, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What things is he talking about? What we need in life, what we need to eat, what we need to wear, our provision. He says, you seek the Lord. The kingdom of God, that is where our provision is. He says, you seek me and all these things will be added, not taken away, but added unto you. The psalmist has written in Psalm 53:2, it says, God looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there is any who seek him. I pray in Jesus' name that this time that we're in, when the devil is doing his best to disconnect us, but he'll never do that, that you seek the Lord. You draw close unto the Lord. If you draw nigh unto him, God promised that he would draw nigh unto you. This COVID thing one day will pass, okay? But in the meantime, and until it does, we have to stand strong, not in the power of our might, but in the power of another, the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't ever forget that. Stand strong. Do it right tonight with all of your heart. And now David moves from praising the Lord, encouraging us all to exalt the name of the Lord together, and he moves now to teacher. Look at verse 11. He says, come you children and listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So here it comes. Who is the man who desires life? Well, we all desire that. And loves many days that he may see good. Good days, that's the opposite of bad days, loved one. He says, keep your tongue from evil, your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil, do good, seek peace, pursue it. Now, we know that that's quoted, Peter quotes that, doesn't he, in 1 Peter chapter 3. So, he who would love life, that means this is a decision on our part. This is a choice, if you will. It's not about length of life. It's about quality of life, the kind of life that we want to have. You see, we have a choice today. We can either endure life, we can love life, or we can escape life. I just want to love life. I want to have good days. Now listen to me. There's only one way to face any circumstance in our life as a Christian, and that is by faith. The Bible says in Romans 1:17 and many other places that the just shall live by faith. And that's what we have to be doing, loved one, is living by faith. So to love life and to see good days, then it's about our lifestyle. And the first thing we need to do is to get our heart right. And you say, well, Bill, that's not what David just said. He said, you know, the tongue, not the heart. That's true, but Jesus told us in Matthew 12:34, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Boy, the tongue can get us in such trouble. The things that come out of our mouth. It's the vilest part, loved one, of our body. Listen, if we want to have a good life, let's seek peace. Let's pursue peace. And that peace is a person. Matter of fact, we don't even have to seek peace today, really, because peace is a person, and Jesus has given unto us his peace. Amen? So he says, the eyes of the Lord, they're on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. And now there's a contrast. He says, the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. So the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. So if you want to see a good life, a peaceful life, a life filled with love, it says that we need to be a person of prayer. See, because prayer is the work. Remember Elijah, it says the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's very, very powerful. The Bible teaches us that the power of prayer is not in the one who prays it, but in the one who hears it. Remember Ephesians 3:20, for God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is working in us. And it's to the glory of God to all generations in his church, loved one. Samuel Chadwick said this. He said, there is no power like that of prayer. It turns ordinary mortals into men and women of power. It brings fire. It brings rain. It brings life. It brings God. Verse 17. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. That word troubles literally means out of their discouragements and or frustrations, if you will. And that's what we need to do. We need to cry out to God. We never need to neglect our prayer closet, loved one. God hears our prayers. However, you have to believe that God hears our prayers. It does no good to get up early in the morning and go into your prayer closet all alone and pray to God unless you believe that he is there and that he hears your prayers. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:6, for it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But he must believe that he is and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit, or a spirit that is literally kind of hammered, if you will, a broken spirit. You know, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. I think that every funeral, I've done so many over my many years in ministry, I always use that scripture because it is true. The Lord himself is near to those of a broken heart. If there's anyone who knows how to take care of a broken heart, it is Jesus Christ. He is literally a heart specialist. And you can give him all the brokenness of your heart and loved one. He's right there, and he will put everything back together. Jesus said in Luke 4:18, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And here it comes. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Are you brokenhearted tonight? Has something broken your heart? Have you lost a loved one? Listen, he's right there. He is so near. Let the great physician put it all back together. He says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Many, not just a few, many, it says. You know, and what do? We have to look to the Lord and trust the Lord. Look what he does in verse 20. He guards all of his bones, and not one of them is broken. John, remember, uses that in John, I think it's chapter 19, verse 30-something, 36, 37, right in that area. Remember where it says, Jesus there up on the cross, but none of his bones were broken. When they came to broke the legs of the two thieves on each side of him, but they did not touch the Lord. They didn't break any bones at all. So it says he guards all his bones, and not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. Verse 22. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none, I love this scripture, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. You know, to guard someone's bones, that means speaks of just complete protection and so forth. But that last verse, verse 22, we have the ultimate, the Christian, the believer today, the ultimate fulfillment of those promises, loved one. Listen, you know, taste and see the incredible goodness of God. None who trust in Jesus Christ, none, those born-again believers will ever, ever be condemned. They will never face condemnation because Jesus Christ paid for all of our sins and the sins of the world. If we're going to be judged by God, when we stand before him, he has to say, you're not guilty. And the reason is because, again, Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away all the sins of the world, that's what he has done for us. Man, listen, the word of God is sweet. We have been justified. We have the perfect record of Jesus Christ imputed into our account. When God sees us, he sees us in Christ. Man, listen, he sees us as if we had never sinned. That's what justification is, loved one. No, listen, it says in Romans 5:9, much more than having now been justified, declared innocent, declared in right standing with God by the blood of Jesus, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. The Bible tells us in Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation, no judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, tonight, before you turn in, before you go to bed, listen to me. Why don't you look at Psalm 34:1 again? Really check what's coming out of your mouth. I have to do the same thing, loved one. It says, I will bless the Lord before I go to sleep, in the morning only, maybe when I ask him to, when I pray over my lunch the next day or whatever. No. It says, I will bless the Lord all times, every season of my life, no matter what I'm facing, no matter what I'm going through. Lord, I'm going to bless you. I love you. I'm going to bless you, Lord, and his praise shall be continually in my mouth. Remember when you do that, man, you are driving your circumstances, maybe not far away, but God surrounds himself in your, enthrones himself in your circumstances, whatever you're facing. He says, oh, I'll bless the Lord at all times. Do that tonight. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Let good things speak good things. He says in verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I'd encourage all the families right now, or even if you're alone by yourself, exalt his name. Just do it right now. And you know what's going to happen? You will feel the manifested presence. You will sense, experience the manifested presence of the living God. Exalt his name. Tell him that you love him. That's what we need to do tonight. It says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And blessed, oh, how happy, the word means, blessed, oh, how happy, or to be envied, or to be fortunate. Oh, blessed is the man who trusts in him. Trust in him tonight. Trust in him tomorrow. When you wake up in the morning, exalt the Lord. Magnify the Lord. You're not alone. You're never going to be alone. He will never, as I say so often, he will never, ever relax his hold upon you. Experience the Lord tonight. Matter of fact, why don't you just get quiet before the Lord? Maybe if your family's with you, just, you know, when I close out here in a moment, oh, no, why don't we do it together? Why don't you, oh, the whole family, just grab hands right now. The little one's getting the lap of your dad or your mom. Lean against their shoulder, whatever you want to do. But let all those that are listening, all the families, whether you're alone or with the family, let's pray together. And let's sense and thank God for the power. Let his manifest presence touch you tonight. I love you dearly. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. For you said that I will, David said, I'll bless you, Lord. I'm going to bless you at all times, no matter what I'm facing, uncertain times, lonely times, bitter times, hard times, uncertain times, coronavirus times, whatever it is, Father. But tonight, we're the family of God. We're not disconnected. We're connected right now by prayer because prayer knows no distance. Oh, Lord, manifest your presence to this, to all the families, all the people that are listening. Matter of fact, Lord, in the loneliness of this chapel, surround me too. I want to experience you all over again. I want to taste and see all over again how good you are, Lord. Oh, Lord, bless the little ones. Bless the children that are there with their parents. Lord, bless the grandparents. Bless those that are alone, maybe in their car or in their home tonight, wherever they're listening to this message. Lord, bless them. Let them feel you. Lord, as we magnify you and exalt your name, let us taste and see that the Lord is good. We love you, Lord. We give you praise tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. In Jesus' name, can't wait to see you this Sunday. God bless everyone.